This is Germ Warfare, the battle of ideas.
Jason, Christoph, thank you for joining me in the trenches again.
Well, thanks for having me back, Germ. Thank you.
No, the pleasure is all mine. I love your work. And I very quickly went through your upcoming film. What's it called? Planet Mind Control.
Yeah, it's out now.
Oh, is it out? Okay. And it is superb.
Thank you. Yeah, we put a, it took a while. There was some, my editor is also takes pictures at weddings. So the summers were slower and the winters were busier, but we definitely got it done. I'm very proud of the final result. And of course, my goal was to educate people about how simple the tactics are. But how effective they are. So I think I do that really well, and it's meant to have people realize how easy it is for them to be put under mind control and how easy it is to cast these spells over the population. And I review how it's done, sort of who's behind it, and then I go over the three major spells that are cast through the media and the government today, so that, you know, basically education in the first 25 minutes of the film, and then examples after, trying to teach people how to walk through their media and government announcements and look for the mind control nudges or mind control cueing. And I think it does a great job. And basically, you know, spoiler alert, if you watch this film, not only will you know how the ruling group tricks you to be mediocre, underachieving, and below average, but you'll never watch TV and movies the same again, because you'll be able to see all the psychological patterns and cueing that they put throughout the backgrounds that, and, you know, once you watch the film, you'll see that those objects and certain patterns or even colors they place in the background guaranteed have a huge impact on your behavior, your ideas, your thoughts moving forward.
I've often watched movies and I've seen things that didn't sit comfortably with me. For example, something stupid like they're eating breakfast and there's a box of Kellogg's, but it's positioned just perfectly so that you can see that it says Kellogg's. Now, there's no real mind control going on there, but it obviously is a nudge.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a nudge. And if you watch the documentary, you would realize that, you know, seeing the box of cereal, say it's Rice Krispies or something, some other poisonous application like Rice Krispies, and it might only appear once in the film that you're watching. And it takes two sort of images, and I teach why in the film. It takes two images to get you to have this weird magnetic attraction toward Rice Krispies. So where does the second image come in? Well, it's going to come in when you're in the aisle, when you're in the shopping aisle. And so if you happen to turn to the left or the right and you see the box of Rice Krispies, you're not aware that your subconscious remembered the image of the first box in the film. And the reason the second box gets your attention is because you have this subconscious part of the mind that's operating outside your awareness that definitely pays attention to anything two repetitions or above, because this part of the brain is actually looking for where the bigger tribe is. And the most repetitive content will trigger the subconscious to say, that's where the bigger tribe is. So the second box of Rice Krispies, or the second repetition of any image that you're going to take in, triggers this invisible part of the mind that there's safety in that object, there's safety in that idea, there's safety in that behavior. And all of this is outside your conscious awareness, like I explained in the film. And this is the technology they use on us. And I mean, if you really want people to react, you go well beyond the two repetition range. You go into the 6, the 10, and everything I reviewed, the three examples in the film, I mean, they're in the 10,000 to 100,000 rep range. So you're going to have a magnetic affinity toward them. You want to bring them into your sphere of influence in order to sort of mark yourself as a tribe member, to flash the gang signs of the tribe and say, hey, you know, I'm like the bigger group. I'm, you know, do you like me yet? Am I safe yet? And this is sort of how you're invisible safety systems operate, which is explained really well in the film. So I'm sure you'll put that in the show notes, and it's free. It's there to show people, like, you got to wake up now or you're always going to be under these spells.
But there's an interesting primal psychology going on here, Jason. The idea of tribes, that seems to be part of human nature. You're not saying that all types of tribalism is bad, right?
Yeah, it's definitely not bad. And I heard a great quote. I can't remember who said it, but they said, black magic's always based on white magic. So it's good. It's the inversion of the white magic. So what's kept us alive is the tribal affinity, is the magnetic draw to do what the majority is doing. And I'll give you a good example. Like, if you're a kid, you can't talk. And a child up to 7, they actually download the most repetitive content 10 times faster and 10 times more ferociously than an adult. So if you're like a kid, 2 years old, you're sitting up in sort of like an ancient village. And I might have given this example to you before, but there's two paths in the woods. And the child's mind notices, like, no one takes the left-hand path. So the child's just playing, but over his entire lifetime, before he can really walk on his own and take one of the paths, he's getting the repetitive download that the right-hand path is the only one the other tribe's members are using. And then as he grows up, he's more magnetically attracted to the right-hand path, even if he didn't understand. Maybe he walks toward the paths when he's 4, still not understanding why. And he'll still be drawn to the right-hand path. Now, as he grows up, he realizes the left-hand path, it's been taken over by hyenas and tigers and millipedes and snakes and a wasp nest and a bee's nest and a red ant nest. So that this sort of do what the repetitive content is exposing is what's kept us alive. So the group takes what makes us, like, well-functioning humans and said, how do we turn that on its head? How do we invert that? How do we take this survival mechanism, like this white magic that, like, because it is white magic because you don't know it's happening. Like, that's what magic is. It's an invisible force. You don't even know where it's coming from. So it is a form of white magic. So the child never goes down the left-hand path. So our, you know, the people, social engineers, I call them, or human farmers, they're like, how do we turn this on its head? Well, they found out the repetitive influence is what is counted subconsciously. So this is why they invented media, and to control what repetitive content we see here and learn about in school as well. The school system's heavily involved here. And they've made it so that they can control the repetitive content so that we destroy ourselves, so that we're running towards, say, the armed dart Olympics. I hope people understand what that means. They run toward the armed dart Olympics. And because of the repetitive content that's being socially engineered, the person believes that poison is going to make them healthier. That's an inversion, because they've always said, you know, the arm darts are the greatest medical invention in history. It's safe and effective. It's, you know, it's taken away things like polio. And what about polio? So you have all the repetitive content. Now they've controlled that repetitive messaging and all these movies that we've seen, like I Am Legend and Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman, World War Z with Brad Pitt, Contagion with Matt Damon, Lawrence Fishburne. And see, as I expose in the film, those movies are not there to entertain you. the movies, and if someone like watches this film, trust me, like you'll understand what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's not a flimsy, I'm not making a flimsy argument. I prove the argument in a way that's entertaining and not aggressive, and it's not going to offend anybody who watches it. It's just going to blow your mind. But these films are there to lay in the repetitive content that's inverted. Because, of course, as the film states, you cannot rule, you can't farm lions. You can only farm lambs. And the ruling group have tried in the past to make us lambs by force. You know, give us the butt of the gun, put us in camps, put barbed wire around us, threaten us, steal our stuff. As a rule, it never works out because the human spirit is too strong. You can't. Another part of white magic is the human is designed to be free. So you cannot try to put handcuffs on that spirit, but you can manipulate that spirit to give them the impression that they're making a free choice. So you have to use the repetitive content to make the person believe that the decision is organic to them, to make them voluntarily go down to the armed dark clinic. There's no guards, there's no barbed wire, there's no coercion, there's no bayonets, and you get the same result, right? You get the same ruling group result where the public are tricked to poison themselves back into the Stone Age and disempower themselves and lower their IQs and inflict brain damage on themselves so they become like a lamb. So you get the same result, but it may the mind control makes it appear that the general population is making these decisions organically. So mind control doesn't come from a place of power. It comes from a place of fear. And I hope people realize that if they did have the force to, you know, push our head down with, you know, their unlimited power, they would, but they don't have it. So when you look into mind control, please understand that they use it because they're inherently weak. And this is the only card they have to play. If we see the mind control, their reign on this planet is over.
You mentioned Contagion. I had never heard of that film before 2020. And yeah. We went and watched it. I think it was middle of 2020, and the hair on my arms stood up. It was like predictive programming.
Yeah, and predictive programming is, as I describe in the film, you remember I said about the repetition of the Rice Krispie, and then you get the second repetition, and the subconscious is always taking down what the most repetitive imagery is. That's what predictive programming is. It's laying in the repetitive, it's called dormant programming as well, because you'll need a trigger. So all mind control, you need a trigger. And movies like Contagion are part of a bigger genre of sort of virus, zombie, arm dart saves the day genre. And it's not just Contagion. There's 300 to 400 movies made like this over the past, say, 25 years. So what they're doing is laying in all this dormant repetition. And Contagion was, like, you can tell this group plans it out in advance. Because in the movie Contagion, so Contagion came in 2011, just so that people know. And it had a virus from China.
Coronavirus.
A coronavirus. It was from an animal in China. Its spread rate, and a lot of people might not know this, but when a virus spreads, a so-called virus spreads, it has what's called an R-naught rate. R-naught means its spread rate. And the spread rate of the virus in Contagion, 2011, always keep that in mind, it's 9 years before COVID. Its spread rate was very similar to what Neil Ferguson released from Imperial College in the UK, right? There was masking, the social distancing, there was even medication.
Sorry, Jason. Yeah, sorry, let me jump in there. Hold on.
Yeah.
Social distancing was a term, I don't know about you, I'd never in my life heard that term before.
it was never out before. It was only in Contagion that it started. And people, look, and I understand the average person, because I understand mind control. So whoever's listening to this is thinking, are you telling me that they planned this 9 years ahead? I'm telling you this, that they admitted that they planned it like 70, 80 years ahead. And I'll tell you why, because they admit it. So they have their own documents written in their own words by their own hand. And I'll give you two references right now. Just go look up the Toronto Protocols. The Toronto Protocols is one cited reference where, yeah, you're probably intimidated that they, you know, there's fingerprints on the movie Contagion that they were using mind control and meshing it in with what they were already going to do in 2020. I'm not only telling you that, I'm telling you that they've written it down. The Toronto Protocols are from 1967. And that's the first citation, the Dr. Richard Day confessions that came out, you know, through the tongue of Dr. Lawrence Dunnigan, that came out in 1969, where they admit all this and so much more that they're coming for you. And what's funny about, and not funny, but I'm going to give people a very stern warning about how this group looks at the public. Because in the Dr. Richard Day Confessions, 1969, he said there's two reasons we do everything. And he lists like 150 attacks he's going to do, and his group, called the Order, is going to do upon humanity over the next 50 or 70 years. And he says there's two reasons we do everything. One reason is the reason that's for us, and it's the truth. And there's the reason we sell you the stupid people. And he said, if you're too stupid to see that we're screwing you over and that we're lying to you, you deserve to die. That's what he said. So please be aware that although you might not believe this is happening, they admit it. And they are telling you that if you're too stupid to even investigate what they're literally writing down, that you deserve what you're going to get. So please be aware of that. So I'll tell you, oh, did you want something to say to that before I go to the Contagion rant?
Yeah. Definitely. I just want to jump in again. Did you say the Toronto Protocols?
Yeah.
So listen to this. According to the documents, group 6.6.6 consists of those who control the six largest banks in the world, the six largest energy consortia on the planet, including oil, and the six largest agri-food consortia.
Yeah, and that's why they call it 666, which is 666, people associate it with the number of the beast, but the beast can be disguised in different ways. I've given articles and lectures on this, but 666 just means the repeating spirit of their rule. It doesn't really mean a man or a goat with a pitchfork.
Can I just quickly read this? I pulled it up while you were talking. Listen to this. The first understood or alleged meeting was in 1967, and they produced a document titled Panem et Circenses, which means bread and circuses, I hope I pronounce it correctly, with the stated goal of vital genocide for the benefit of the hidden prophet. The document outlines strategies through creating a world society of the leisure, which focuses on sex, drugs, sports, travel, and entertainment, which is what you were talking about in the film, infiltrating media, fashion, and cultural circles to influence the West, targeting youth to control future adults, undermining traditional Christian family structures, and making quote-unquote exceptions become new social rules to destabilize society. It's what you've been talking about.
Yeah, it's what I was talking about the whole time. So people I tell people, look, my commentary is just extra. You got to go back to where they admit they're hunting you. They're hunting your kids. They're poisoning your food. They actually say that in the Toronto Protocols. They said those people that grow food out in the country, they're very dangerous to our end goal. We have to get rid of them. I mean, this is all admitted to. And in the Toronto Protocols, they call this thing, the wandering spirit of man. They said we have to take advantage of the wandering spirit of man with what they say is like this perpetual titillation agenda, where they're going to get you to amuse yourself to death, sort of like the Universe 25 mouse experiment. I'm pretty sure you remember that. So that you don't notice that we're hunting you. So we're going to give you the Starbucks and the alcohol and the sports ball game and the Netflix and the porn and the masturbation and the, you know, the marital affairs and the endless breakups and the endless drama. They admit that. They're engineering all of it so you're like a cat chasing its tail. And by the time you come to in a wheelchair with 10 different diseases and you're overweight, they got you. Right? They got you. So again, my commentary today is simply in addition to what they've already admitted they're doing to you. Just letting you
know. Okay. So back to contagion.
This is how good they are with putting in the repetitions. And the subconscious doesn't know the difference. So this counting system that loves you, by the way, like it loves you. That's why it's counting. It doesn't know the difference between real life, screen time, and imagined thought. And it doesn't know when one movie ends and another one begins. It just counts for the most repetitive content because it loves you and it wants to find out what the bigger herd is saying, thinking, or doing. The counting is invisible and so's forcing you to adopt it. So this pressure to go along with the content is another pressure-based safety mechanism. So in the movie Contagion, they're very good. So 9 years prior, there's a scene in Contagion where there's a couple backhoes, a couple caterpillar backhoes, and there's trenches with, you know, bodies and, you know, in the white body bags, and, you know, the workers are like, oh, I don't think we've ran out of body bags. Canada has stopped sending us body bags, doing a wait and see, and they're saying we can't handle the flow. Now, in the New York Post and the New York Times, they actually had in 2020, so in 2011, the Hollywood black magic magicians jump in the open trenches, you're outside, you got the white body bags. And I think even the, it might have been blue body bags, and the people that were digging the graves were in white. Flash forward to 2020, 2021, New York City, and they report that the morgues are overflowing, so they had to resort to burying the bodies in open graves. Now,
and burning.
That was in Mexico City. I mean, Jeff Berwick was famous for that. The ovens never stop. The ovens never stop burning. Right? Jeff really beat that one to death. And he should, because it's all part of the repetitive content to put the fear into the public that there's a virus to be afraid of. So what the public didn't know is that the aerial drone footage in 2020 and 2021 that was reported initially by the New York Post and the New York Times was from a place called Heart Island. And prisoners always bury unclaimed bodies on Heart Island. And of course, there was the blue body bags, there was the wooden coffins, there was, all the prisoners were in the blue jumpsuits, and it was the exact same scene. Now, I have to let you know, there's no chance consciously that anybody that watched Contagion in 2011 is going to connect consciously that those scenes are the same. But your subconscious, which is proven to work at a speed of 11 million data points considered per second, and the conscious mind, which you like, I'm speaking with the conscious mind now, I sound pretty smart, but that part of the brain can only process 140 pieces of data a second. So this part of the brain that's trying to find repetitive content, going at 11 million pieces of data point research a second, you're not going to pick it up. And so that sort of imprint, now the bodies on Hard Island that are buried because by the prisoners there, it's unclaimed bodies. And what they did in New York City at the time is they accelerated the amount of unclaimed bodies because they said for COVID, usually New York hospitals were keeping bodies for 2 to 3 weeks till they would find family members. So they would put the body on ice and they'd do a deep dive into, you know, let's try and find the family member to claim the body. Because a lot of deaths in New York sometimes are the homeless and people that don't, elderly that don't have relatives and things like this. So see, this is how hard the group works to make the stage play exactly what they want. So they truncated the amount of time that New Yorkers could have to claim for unclaimed bodies to 48 hours. So you're not going to find family relatives in 48 hours, especially during COVID. So you had all these excess bodies going over to Hard Island because that's the job of the prisoners there to bury unclaimed bodies. So it looked like an excess of death, but it was really just complete manipulation.
Yeah, but that's the nudging, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's definitely the nudging. There's so many other things in Contagion, like you said, social distancing, and even the mask. Sanjay Gupta was playing himself in Contagion, and he was with the CDC, right? So we had the CDC logo, the official authority. That's a big sort of trigger for people is authority. And so Sanjay Gupta from CNN was with Lawrence Fishburne, supposed to be with the CDC, and they talk about a drug to sort of mitigate the damage before the vaccine comes, and it's Rubiviren. And our drug is remdesivir. Like, they'll even use the same consonant in front of the fake medication that doesn't exist. Rubiviren does not exist, but remdesivir does exist. And they're constantly nudging and planting and just making sure they know that repetitive content, gyms were closed, airports were closed, people were dying in the street, which of course they were reporting, but no one was dying. I mean, overall mortality went down all across. Every place that locked down, there was less deaths. So what sort of killer virus has less deaths? Well, one out of Hollywood. And that's what we're exposed to all the time, is media and government are the same governing force. And the only way we're governed is through mind control.
I would add to that. You said media and government. I would add academia.
Oh yeah, it's all in on the. I mean, it's a system, right? Everywhere we go, like even when I go to my bank in Canada, the Toronto Dominion Bank. They have new branches, they've redesigned their branches, and they have like TV screens so they can program you. Because, I mean, that's what they're, if you look at the back of the American $1 bill, you'll have the triangle, and it's a hovering triangle above the primary pyramid. You'll see it has an eye in it.
Yeah.
And you see it has light coming, it looks like it's coming out of it, but it's also...
And there's Latin written around it.
Yeah, that's New World Order is what it is. But at the very top, the hovering pyramid above the, you know, the capstone, there's a capstone that hovers above the primary pyramid on the back of the American $1 bill. It has an eye in it. And because they can program you through the eye, right? You can't control repetitive content in the dark. There has to be light. So he who controls what goes in the eye through the light controls the population. So back to the TD Bank, they got all the screens, right? They got all the TV screens at the new branches, and all it is commercials for same-sex loans that I can't get. So if you're a man marrying a man, woman marrying a woman in Canada, there's new loans for your house, there's, you know, prime minus loans to start your business, and they're mind-controlling people, because this group is trust me, they don't like humans. They don't want extra humans. So, of course, they're going to endorse same-sex relationships because there's no chance any children are going to be born from there. That's what's going on there.
Well, listen to this. Since we're on the topic of contagion, listen to this. Nearly 1,000 pages of Freedom of Information Access documents detail the CDC's extensive collaboration with the writers and directors of the film Contagion.
Absolutely. And the writers, I mean, these people would know most likely that, you know, there's a big plan coming up in 2020. We're going to have to riddle the backdrops. I mean, the most important is the writer, but there's also the most important is the people that put things in the background, like a prop manager. Because the prop manager with the signs and, you know, the danger signs, the hazmat signs, the masking, the needles, those are really important to litter throughout the background. And my documentary really proves why they're important and that they have a major impact on what you believe and how you react. So basically, all this repetition, and if you don't think it affects your mind, go watch my film. Because all this repetition is dumped in, it can affect you in 30 seconds, just letting you know. So it's all dumped in there, and I prove in the film that you only need two repetitions to change someone's behavior, like boom, instantly. Two repetitions and you're changing direction, and you think it's you changing direction. So this genre of movie with the, you know, zombie virus, arm dart saves the day, they dumped in hundreds of movies, 28 Days with Cillian Murphy and all these movies about, I mean, even Hobbs and Shaw with The Rock and Jason Statham, you might not remember, but that was about a virus, a killer virus. Or if you go to Angels and Demons with Tom Hanks, about a killer virus, you don't even remember the plots. So they dumped in all this content, and then like all mind control, like the Manchurian Candidate, you need a trigger. So the trigger is the public is mind controlled to believe that the news is not entertainment and that the government officials aren't actors, and they are. So the trigger, the mind control trigger, once hundreds of that repetition, it wasn't just movies too, Time Magazine, National Geographic, Reader's Digest, the you know, the teacher at your school, viruses, vaccines, and then bang, you're triggered in 2020. There's your mind control trigger. And then the subconscious says, hey, you're in danger, and nothing triggers the subconscious to go back to its content that it's downloaded more than fear. So it says, hey, Jason, you're in danger. I got all this repetitive content, what to do right now. All you got to do, 6 foot distance, social distance, put the mask on, go get the shot, stay at home, shut everything down, be afraid, don't breathe too much air, keep your family close, attack people who talk against the narrative. That would have been instant. The person thinks it's all organic to them, but all those movies are what impregnated all those beliefs into the person.
Yeah. So in other words, they're not acting out of free will.
They have their PhD from Hollywood University. And they're going around and saying, I know about viruses and I know about spread rates and I know the mask is effective. I can't wait for the shot. And they're really confident in their PhD from Hollywood and TV University. And they walked into an ambush because, like it said, you know, black magic is based on white magic. So everything that kept that person alive for who knows how long we've been down here on whatever we live on. I don't really know, because I know mind control is really good. So I don't know where we are, but basically we've been alive here for a long time and we have certain defense mechanisms by which we survive. And they know that they can get us going in the opposite direction. And I'll tell you, I got a great hypnotist friend, a hypnotherapist. And one of my closest friends was a smoker and she couldn't quit. So I sent her to my hypnotherapist friend, who's really good. And all he does is he gets her in the relaxed state. Hypnotherapy has a lot to do with you being like relaxed and highly suggestible. And then he walks her through this imaginary sequence of her going to get her cigarette. And then instead of getting the cigarette, she pulls out a centipede. And the centipede kind of crawls in her mouth, and the cigarette pack turns into a whole bunch of spiders and crawling up her arm. And he starts associating cigarettes with everything that's absolutely disgusting. Now, the primary person that sold female cigarettes, Edward Bernays, in like the late 1920s, the reason he sold female cigarettes, he was hired by Philip Morris to sell female cigarettes to double their, you know, their market share, is, and they wanted to destroy females too. I'm not going to shy away from that, that this cult loves destroying females, absolutely. So what Bernays did was, like, cigarettes make you old, they cost money, they yellow your teeth. Obviously, you can't make a sale like that. So he said he organized this thing called the Torches of Freedom. And you can look it up on YouTube. Just look up Torches of Freedom cigarettes, and you'll see exactly how he associated smoking, something that kills you, with freedom. And that's all you need to do. So with my friend who quit smoking, he associated in her mind smoking with negative, and she quit. He was on with one session with her. Every time she went to grab a cigarette, her brain envisioned the millipede, never picked it up again. And so what he did, Edward Bernays did, is he sold women something to kill them by associating a positive. And that's what mind control is all about during COVID. These were needles of poison admitted to in the Toronto protocols. They mentioned it was a genocide. It was a genocide. But if you're good at mind control, you associate the needle with poison with being a hero in your community, making your kids safe, having immunity, being able to work again, being able to travel again. So it's the same exact process every single time, is that if they want you to kill yourself, which only benefits them, and how it benefits them, you can read in the Toronto protocols and get into the Dr. Richard Day tapes, but you injecting poison into yourself and either A, making yourself sick, or B, dying right away, or C, dying earlier than you should, benefits the group. It has no benefit for you. So that's why the mind control documentary, Planet Mind Control, is so important. So you can see their tricks, because they can make you do anything. I mean, even abortion for the female. Freedom is associated there. Freedom is the easiest way to trick a human. Is to say, if you do this, you're free. And they did it with the cigarettes. They do it with abortion. They tell the women, if you, you know, it's freedom. It's not abortion. You know, that's what they're good. That's how they sell it. They'll take the white magic, invert it to black magic, and associate your own destruction with something positive. It's very important to understand if people want to. If they don't, it could be game over if they don't understand.
Just feeding to what you're saying now about the cigarettes, I think the 80s and the early 90s had the greatest ads of all time. Do you remember Peter Stuyvesant ads?
They were equating, that the Marlboro Man?
No. The Peter Stuyvesant.
Oh, was that a cigarette?
Yeah. Where they were equating smoking with basically living the high life. Yachts and skydiving and sports and fast cars and hot women. Those were the greatest ads. But that's precisely your point. They were such good ads, but they had nothing to do with cigarettes.
Yeah, how could you sell cigarettes, right? Look, you know, smoke this, it'll cost you. They said, if you look up Time Magazine right now and put the average cost of what a smoker spends over their lifetime, it's $1 million on cigarettes. You could look it up. Time Magazine, I don't know if it's true, but it was a million plus. So, yeah, you're not going to make the sale saying, you know, this will bankrupt, you'll turn your teeth yellow.
It'll make you cough.
You make you age faster. That's not going to sell it. You have to assort. And they, but they do this with everything: alcohol, vaping, watching the Super Bowl, eating the cereal. It's so easy and so effective to make humans participate in these, you know, this five-star first-class ride into the abyss. And that's what this, this is how this group operates, is like, if the weak human, the overweight human in the motorized scooter wheelchair with an IV bag jacked into their primary vein in their forearm, they're never going to challenge the system. Right. So if you're broke, overweight, sick, and infantilized, which means you're kept as a permanent infant and long into your adulthood, you're not going to challenge the system. You're just going to talk about Charlie Kirk, and then you don't even care about Charlie Kirk anymore. And then you're going to talk about Maduro. Have you heard about Maduro? Where's Maduro? That's the Venezuelan president. Oh, he was just paraded down New York City. You don't hear about him ever again. You don't hear about Charlie Kirk ever again. You never hear about the guy that shot at Trump ever again. It's just, you're just going to be one of those people who just talk about whatever's going on today, and you got no power, and you pay your taxes. And this is a business. So the reason they use mind control, and the reason you think the news is news, it's as fake as the movie that came before it.
Just to,
and you go ahead.
No, sorry, I was just going to say, just to buffer against any unwarranted criticism, you should put into quotes the guy who shot at Trump.
Yeah, true. Because we'll never. Yeah, exactly. So, and we don't even know if anybody got shot there, even though, you know, it looked like someone did. So this is what people have to understand, is that, you know, this group, when the public comes up against a system like this, the profit is immense. Okay, so let's say I'm in a condominium right now, and it's, you know, let's say it's 15 stories tall, and there's, you know, 800 people that live here. Or I've been in Miami, where I've never seen such tall skyscrapers in my entire life, and I've been to some big cities. So let's say 3,000 people live in one of the condominiums I saw in Miami. On any given day, I would say two of those people out of 3,000 shop at Foot Locker. And the profit on the shoes is like $100. So, but Foot Locker's still really profitable, right? Still opening up in all the strip malls, pretty profitable business. 2 out of 3,000, you still run a business like that. Not bad, right? Think about the business profit. 3,000 people, everybody gives between 40 and 60% of their income to this business. You telling me they can't afford to do whatever's necessary to keep this going? And keeping you in the seat in the cinema is this business. That's what this business is keeping you in the seat, watching the film, talking about Charlie Kirk, talking about Trump, talking about Venezuela, talking about the silver crash. What's next? What's today? Keeping you in the seat, keeping you watching the film, keeping all, they need you in the seat so that they can flash all the images into your subconscious to control everything that you're thinking, saying, and doing. The only option is for you to get out of the seat, go into the lobby, and go into the parking lot and leave. And that's the only option. Because when they, to not mind control is to not govern. Governance is mind control. And it's based on two things: repetition and poison. Everything I talked about regarding the human being naturally designed to adopt the most repetitive content of its environment. So if that's not bad enough, that white magic defense mechanism is what kept us alive, and they've inverted it, they've also found out that if you're poisoned, you will adopt the repetitive content without thinking about it, 200 to 300% more than someone who's healthy and they're still prone to copy it. So healthy people are still prone, but because they're healthy, their brain function is sort of organized in a way where they can still question if the messaging makes sense or not. Now, they've shown that if they poison you, Teflon on your pans, aluminum in your underarm deodorant, fluoride in your toothpaste, and they can fear also poisons the metabolism, the birth control pill, Advil, Motrin, Tylenol, mercury teeth fillings, you live on planet mind control because everything they do, everything they've normalized, everything you think you know and that you describe as, that's just the way it is. That's just the way we do things around here. It's all poison because poisoning the population makes their uptake of the repetitive content even more ferocious.
You're talking about Hollywood and the media, and a lot of people listening will go, "Ah, but I mean, I don't watch movies anymore." But the principle is the same. Facebook, and you just sit there scrolling and you're going through those reels one after the other.
Yeah, it's even worse. The way it's designed is insidious because mind control is based on a power differential. So if you're weak, which I just sort of described, so just understand, I just sort of described it. The reason they poison you is because the subconscious also knows if you're strong or not. So you can be a tough guy and verbally say you're tough. But when push comes to shove, your subconscious will either have the confidence in your bravado or it won't. It'll be based on fact. So basically, if the repetitive content is disempowering and trying to force you to do something against your will, and you're poisoned or weak in some other way, the subconscious will be like, "Hey, Jay, I know you like to push back, but I just got the report from ground zero in your nervous system. You're pretty out of shape. You're financially near bankruptcy. And all the factors point to you're so weak, you have to comply." And that'll pressure you to do that. So understand that weakness can be financial. It can be poisoning. It can be spiritual. That's why they're after the churches. Because if you're a hard-ass Christian and not a fake-ass Christian, like Mark Baseo describes very well in a lot of his talks, if you're not a fake-ass Christian and you know you got Jesus for backup, you have spiritual strength that this group absolutely hates. And they mentioned in the Toronto Protocols, they hate the Christians, like you just read, because they don't really believe in Jesus, but they understand that if you do, you're stronger than if you don't. So they know there's so many different factors to the that will weaken you and add up like a big 12-inch sub at Subway, right? The bigger, the thicker that weakness, the more you'll comply. When you're scrolling, your posture is weak because you're looking down. They know people that stand up strong. You can talk to Anthony Robbins about this all day long because he's drawn the blood. And he's measured the neurology of someone who stands up straight. And they're so much physically stronger. Even in muscle testing, they're stronger. So you have this person on their phone with their head down, crouched over. And everything on there is disempowering, is negative. And don't forget, your eyes are the strongest, giving the strongest indicator when they scan the horizon. Because your subconscious knows you're not under threat from full spectrum attack. When you're staring at a screen and focus your eyesight on a single point of attention, it marks as weakness in the subconscious. When you're bent over, it marks as weakness. And when you're sitting down, it marks as weakness. And the natural strength of eyesight is left to right, like this, making sure you're not going to be attacked from anybody on the savannah. When you're scrolling like this, you don't know that your eyes are going up and down. It's the exact opposite of the natural strength movements of your eyeball. They know that. They even put the antenna of the cell phone. It'd be safer if the antenna was at the top, But they put it at the bottom so it blasts all your intestines, all your sex organs, and totally blasts it, because again, they're part of depopulation admitted to in the Toronto protocols. So be very aware that this group are hunters. You're being hunted in ways you know nothing about. But if you take the general cornerstone or the base foundation of all their attacks, as I review in the film, it's all full spectrum weakness. Doesn't guarantee you'll comply with the repetitive content, but it increases what's called the compliance quotient. The more fear you're under, the more financially weak you are, the more physically weak you are, the more mentally weak, the more spiritually weak. They add it all together in like a big beaker and some weird science experiment. And then they just throw out the repetitive content. And they know in their boardrooms, they say, hey, you know what? We're not going to get everybody, but we're going to get a lot more than usual, given the ingredients that we're playing with right now.
I don't want to give away too many spoilers. You do go into alcohol and coffee, but I want to just quickly go to masculinity, because you're talking about being weak.
Yeah, it's absolutely. And it's great that you read that Toronto Protocol introduction, because I don't know if people remember, but they admitted that they control like all the industries. So the attack on men is just not what I reviewed in the film, which would be the repetitive content to gradually push men toward demasculinizing themselves. And that's very simple. I mean, mind control is based on repetitive content. You know how it works. I've already explained it. But that's sort of what you're going to see. Psychologically, I'm going to give weak male content, and I'm going to do it over such a long period you won't notice. Like Dee Schneider with Twisted Sister with the makeup, right? And I'm sure, and then David Bowie's like thin.
Oh, but it was funny. But Jason, it was funny.
Right, of course. And that's what they want you to think. And as I say, remember what they said, if you're too dumb to recognize what they're doing, by their own words, you deserve to die. So yeah, it's funny to some people. That's the kind of person they love, right? And even like, is it not Ace Frehley, but Paul Stanley from Kiss. He was super feminine. They all wore makeup. People don't even realize how feminized. I mean, look at even Aerosmith, right? With Steve Tyler, just like a drowned rat. He's not really, I mean, in regards to hunting females, he has that persona. But really, as a stronger man that could, you know, win in a bar fight if someone picked on his wife, probably not, right? Like,
but it's sad. It's sad because that was such a great band.
It is sad, but don't forget that nothing you see is by chance. Nothing. They will make sure that you have, you know, Freddie Mercury from Queen of Boys, like, oh, I love, you know, we will rock you. I love that song. Yeah, I know you love the song because it would have been played so many times that you have this weird magnetic affinity for it. It doesn't matter what they play for you. They make sure it's repetitive, and there's nothing more repetitive than a song. A chorus line can occur between 15 and 30 times in one song. Like you go back to the song Beck, I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me? A male singing it. I mean, these things are proven to have a huge impact on your psyche. So anyway, going back to the full spectrum attack, because this group organizes the full, so they'll say, we got to get rid of the males, we got to get rid of the strong males. And this is an ancient group, and they've lost battles to strong males. So they're like, we got to get, you know, we can't lose again. We can't have people in the streets again, sacrificing themselves and taking down our group. So let's feminize the men. And then ABC and NBC and CBS will say, okay, I'll do this. And Warner Brothers and Fox Media say, we'll make movies to do the same. But the chemical companies get in on it too, because they're all at the meeting. So there's a company called Syngenta. Syn, they spell it S-Y-N. Really phonetically, they enroll the, you know, they know how to subconsciously terrorize people, even in their words, which is the, what's called word magic. Syngenta means the sin of genetics. That's what it means. Syngenta, sin of genetics. Now, Syngenta produced what they said was a pesticide, and it's not a pesticide. It's a feminization chemical. It's called atrazine. And you can look this up right now. Just go to atrazine, Professor Tyrone Hayes, H-A-Y-E-S, Tyrone Hayes from Berkeley, California. And it basically turned his amphibian test animals gay. And but that's what was the design was. So they wanted to go up to mammals, but they shut everything down. And we can see it's sort of having the same effect. And this is the third leading pesticide in the U.S. They've sprayed in Canada. It's banned a lot of places in the European Union because it feminizes animals. It turns, and not only on the amphibian test subjects with Dr. Tyrone Hayes, not only did it have them flip their genders, but it also created this mass homosexuality movement in the frogs as well.
Alex Jones was right.
Yeah, the frogs are gay, or they're turd of the frogs gay. Right, yeah. It's true, though. But what I'm trying to say is the media will do their part, which I explain very clearly, how the media do their part to feminize the men. But I didn't even touch on the other areas of it. The other areas where, you know, they were calling toxic masculinity and were being ruled more and more by weak beta males. And every group has to do their part. In this club, every group has to do their part or they're out of the club. So the club is like, you can have any car you want, any house you want. We got the private jets. You have unlimited money, but we'll phone you when we need you. I mean, I know people in this group. I've seen them interviewed. I know some in person. And when the phone rings, if it's a higher ranking member, it doesn't matter if you're a judge, a cop, you could be the head police chief in a particular town. You get all the attributes, all the courtesies of being in the club, and your phone might ring once every 10 years. But when it does, if you deny the call, it's done. So basically, this is how this group rules, and there's a central organizer, and it's all about, we want to create single women. We want to create feminized men. We want them poisoning themselves. We want them believing needles of poison are good with your immunity. We want them to feed their kids, soya-based baby formula. And that's all this group does, is keep us weak, keep the mind control rolling ahead, because this is basically a $50 to $100 billion a day profit business across the world. So every day that goes by, you get $50 to $100 billion in profit. So even if one day the whole system collapses, can you imagine the profit? And that's why I was trying to go back to that high rise in Miami, where you have no idea how profitable this illusion-based business is. And that's why they'll tell you, like, you're going to get a Doge refund check. You're going to get a Venezuelan refund check. We're going to take away the income tax. You're going to get a tariff refund check. You're going to get a MAGA refund check. And you can tell them every 2 weeks, and under the brain damage and the mind control, they won't even remember what they were promised 2 weeks ago. And 14 days at $100 billion a day profit across the world. Can you not wrap your head around why they just kick the can? They don't care if it collapses, whenever it collapses. It's going to collapse soon enough, but every day they kick the can down the road. It's the most profitable business ever devised in human history.
I noticed this actually a few years ago when watching sitcoms. The men are always drunkards or useless or lazy or unemployed. And it's always up to the wife. Remember Married with Children? Absolutely. And even The Simpsons.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you watch the film, where we really not only show the repetitive content, I mean, Married with Children, Simpsons was in the film, Married with Children almost made it, we had to cut it out. But if you, they're all like that. I mean, all these movies and TV shows are about the strong women and about the weak men. Now, there's reasons for that, though. So someone says, well, I understand that if I was a ruler, sure, I understand. We'll get rid of the strong men. I understand that. But someone might say, explain to me the weak, the strong women. Like, say, in Avengers Endgame, Thor, which I mentioned in the film.
I can't watch that stuff anymore.
He took out Thanos, right? But then he had a mental breakdown. He went into seclusion. He was playing video games, drinking beer, and he gained a whole bunch of weight. So there was a big showdown. Thanos, I don't know how he got his head back, but he comes back, and there's a big showdown of all the superheroes, all the Avengers. And who's the strongest one that kicks Thanos' ass? It's Supergirl, because Thor is too fat right now. And then all the girls team up on Thanos, and that's when they really get the better of Thanos. So people are like, why would they want all the repetition to push the men to be feminine? And why with all the repetition to push the women to be masculine? It's because they want the women to believe they're strong and to think they don't need men for support. And this group is very clever. Very clever. Now, I don't want to scare people, and I want you to know that this might sound fantastical. So maybe you stop it right now and go read the Toronto Protocol so that you can understand it. It's not fantastical whatsoever. They only want one gender. That's what they want. Okay? Because they don't want the reproduction capability. Did you want to say something, Jer?
No. I was just adjusting my earphones.
Oh, okay. So they only want one gender. And you can see they're very subtle because the mind control it's only works good if it's slow, that you don't want to awaken the mind control victim. You remember there was a spice you could shake onto your meat. It was called Mrs. Dash. You remember that?
No. Okay. We didn't have that.
Well, yeah, you probably had something else over there. But Mrs. We had something Dad.
Called, we had something called Aromat. I don't know if that was international.
Yeah, in North America, they'll know there's Mrs. Dash.
Okay.
And now it's just Dash, right? Okay. So if you're a mind control expert or mind control research, you're like, okay, so they just took the female out of that. Okay. Doesn't mean nothing. It means nothing to a mind control researcher. But do I see any patterns? Once the patterns are there, then you start really paying attention. So in Hollywood, we used to call males actors and females actresses. No, not allowed to say that anymore. It's rude. Got to call them all actors. Okay, so they're taking the female spirit out of that word, getting rid of, and even the English language, most other languages have objects. Like in French, the le or the la, L-E or the L-A. Well, they're male and female will not only define male and female, but there's objects that are male and female. Like if you're going to say a cat, I don't know if it's le chat or la chat. I'm not too sure because I'm Canadian, but I failed French. But even objects have a feminine and a masculine quality, and you have to address it as such. Not English. We have he and she, but there's no association of objects with either the feminine or the masculine. So they're doing it so slowly over time. And so the Shakespearean agenda is what I call it. And so women are cheering this on. They're thinking it's about equality. I'm going to be strong like Superwoman. I don't need a man. I'll raise my kids on my own. And they're thinking they're making these decisions organically. I'm going to tell you this group. If you want to know how evil this group is, go read the Toronto Protocols. Once they turn on that female who thinks they're Supergirl, as they stand alone in their one floor bungalow with their two kids, and they try to protect themselves from this devilish satanic cult, it's game over. And that's the end goal. So it's a Shakespearean agenda in the sense that maybe people don't know, but in Shakespearean times, which was the mind control modality of that era, where they would use mind control in the stage productions, all actors had to be male. If there were female parts, they were played by men. So the Shakespearean agenda is get rid of the females, only have the men, keep enough females to sort of rape in the Handmaid's Tale scenario. And the real females that they keep alive will be at these rape camps for the ruling group. And they mention some of these camps or sort of hint to them in the Dr. Richard Day tapes and the Toronto Protocols and some other cited documents. So females, be very careful about the pro-strength repetitive content that you're being exposed to. They want you feeling strong until they kick in the door. And then that's when you're going to realize that men are needed and toxic masculinity isn't bad. And you can't phone, you know, your friend who's 100 pounds playing video games and smoking weed, who's a guy but not really a guy. That's when the shit really hits the fan.
You mentioned Handmaid's Tale. I mean, that was a great storyline, but it ended up with, again, female power.
Yeah, and they want to give the female that impression. They want to give the female the impression that the men are beneath them. They don't need them. You can use them at will. They're sort of like either sperm banks or ATMs. And of course, even just getting women out into the workforce, which they admit to. It's not me. It's
well,
not
that's
me
the
coming
Fed,
at
by the way. Yeah, that was the Fed that started that. The Federal Reserve, yeah. Back already in the early 1900s, about putting women into the workforce to compete against men.
Yeah, like double the tax foundation. And it's more about depopulation, because the working woman would have less children, less able to care for the children, more likely to give children off to the state for the mind control programming earlier and earlier. So all their, like, it's just not one agenda, right? They're all sort of intertwined. And this is important, again, to watch the documentary, because these tactics to make women think that birthing is a medical issue, or to make women think that formula or breast milk is the same, or think that injecting poison into the kid is going to make them healthier. It's really easy to do it. Like, it's not complex. It's simple. And they can do anything they want. If they want you, like, all their agendas and all their mind control campaigns are designed so that you go against your genetic self-preservation mechanism. They can trick you to kill yourself with the tactics that I reveal in the movie. So FYI, pretty important information, so that I'm telling you that if you watch the movie, the chance that they can trick you to kill yourself and kill your own kids is either extinguished altogether or drastically reduced. So that's my gift. I heavily suggest you watch the film, not to make me popular, but to save you. I tell people, look, I don't know you out there, but you're my top priority, because I can't. Like, if everybody's in chaos, what, am I going to go down the road skipping when everybody else has got needles in their arm and fallen over dead or bankrupt? Of course not. I'm doing this for you and for me, because we're on the same team. No one wins unless we all win.
And your film is free.
And my film is free. Yeah, absolutely. I made it for free.
All right, Jason, how can I or my audience follow your work?
Well, if they want to watch the film Planet Mind Control, it's actually, that's what it is, the website planetmindcontrol.com. You will see a trailer there. The trailer's not the film. The trailer's on the first page. You got to go below the trailer. All you have to do is put your email and your name in, or just your email, it doesn't matter. Press submit, and then the film appears. So don't think the trailer's the film. To watch the film, you got to go put your email in, and then it appears. So Plan of Mind Control, jchristoff.com is my website. And I talk about mind control all the time because it's the only weapon they got. It's the only weapon they got.
Jason, Christoph, I love chatting to you, my friend. It's always a pleasure. So thank you for joining me in the trenches.
Thanks, Jerm. I did most of the talking, but thanks for having me on.